If you'll turn to the book of John this morning. I failed to mention in my announcements that I want to remind you of Fellowship's Fish Fry Saturday, May the 21st from 5 to 7. They'll use that money to go to the South Louisiana trip. So if you want some good fish, Fellowship, Saturday, May 21st from 5 to 7. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. If you'll stand when you get that, please. Verses 34 and 35, Jesus tells us, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And let's pray. Father, my prayer this morning is that you will let that sink into us, that you will help me as I am your messenger this morning just to deliver your words, that our hearts will be receptive to what the Holy Spirit has for us, and that we will just glorify and worship you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we're about the third week into our study going through this, a return to me. I hope you have enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed going through it and preparing the messages. The Lord has spoken to me and continues to teach me. And I know sometimes I said this at the beginning when we first started this, and you see the title, Return to Me. Sometimes as so-called mature Christians in our life, we might say, well, I'm doing fine. I don't really need to return to God. I don't see where I am away from God. But if you've done the study with us, I think you might begin to see that there's ways that we might need to return that we don't even realize that some things have come between us and God. When Susan and I first got married, if you know where Bill Russell's place is in Bernice and where my little brother lives right now, we lived right there. And across the road before the highway came through and took everything, my grandparents, Paul and Inez Gray, lived across the road there. So I lived right across from my grandparents. Well, you'd think I would be over there every day and would see them all the time, right? No, we were working. We were raising a family. We got busy. And you know, when I think about it, I didn't see them nearly as often as I should have or could have, because things came into my life and you just don't think about it. Same thing happens with us in the Lord. Little things come in, and before long, our prayer life has waned a little bit. Little things come in, and I've just got other things to do on Sundays or Wednesdays. Little things come in, and the time I had to spend with the Lord in prayer and in Bible study, I have just taken that time. So return to me doesn't always mean that you've gone off and you're doing bad things. It just means that God wants to get your attention a little bit and bring you back into that full relationship that he desires. And he desires a full relationship. So to love God with your whole being and your neighbor as yourself is deepened and transformed by Jesus' commands that we just read. Love one another as Jesus has loved his disciples. That's a big task, really. As he loved his disciples, as we were shown in his word, to love one another, everyone around us, to love them in that way. That's an effort. It's not just a saying, it's not just a command that we absorb. It's an effort. It takes an action. It takes doing it every single day and thinking about it. The world doesn't know we are his disciples through correct doctrine or big buildings, but through our love for one another. We have commands to love. And you say, well, love is a feeling. Love is something that just comes naturally. Why a command? Because when you're commanded to love by the Lord Jesus Christ, then you think about it a little more fully. And you see that it takes an effort and it takes prayer and it takes love in your life to come in. We studied last week or week before? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. That means with your full being, not just part of me. Unfortunately, if I love God the way I've love some people on this earth, it wouldn't be very much, because I'm fickle sometimes and I don't put near the effort into it sometimes that I should. God wants our full love. In Leviticus 19, he tells us, the Lord said, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, some of us love ourselves a good bit, right? I mean, you know, if we love our neighbor as ourselves, and we're going to be doing a lot more than we normally do, I can guarantee you that. Romans 12 tells us, Paul's talking about, love one another with brotherly affection. Ephesians tells us, and walk in love as Christ loved us. The ultimate sacrifice of Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Walk in love as He loved us. To do that, we have to learn to put aside, I'll use the word fickleness again sometimes. To do that, sometimes we have to learn to put ourselves aside. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, of what He did. He came to this earth in full submission to His Father, to do the Father's will in service to you and to me. I didn't deserve that. I still don't deserve that. Paul says in Hebrews, let brotherly love continue, as was in the first church. And then in 1 Peter, it says, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Remember we said not long ago, and we studied in Revelation, Jesus walks among His churches, and He's looking at your heart. He's looking at my heart. He's looking at your heart this morning. Are we here in full worship to God? Do we love one another that way as Christ has called us to do? The Bible shouts that God is love from cover to cover. If you read the Bible and you go through life, you know it shouts that God is love from cover to cover. There are deeds and actions that come with it that God has shown us all through His Word to show us His love. We said last Sunday that because we can love God more and love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, more than anything else, now that enables us to love people more. You remember when I told you that I kind of realized that maybe I had put my children up on a higher level and I need to bring them down so I can love God more? And then I told you, I realize if I'm able to do that, then I'm able to love Chance and Samantha like I never have before. I started to write them a letter this week and tell them, look, I've kicked y'all out of my will. But don't get too excited. I'm talking about my will in the heart of wanting to put you ahead of some of the things of God. I've kicked you out because God needs to be in that first place. But by doing that, I can love you even more. That's the teachings of Christ. Because of God's example, we can now love where we couldn't even love before. We can now love people that you never thought you could love before, that you really didn't want to love before. Because we are a people that when we get offended, we hold that in for a long time. That's just the way we are. And oh, Satan helps us to do that. But we can love when we are persecuted, when we are cursed. Why? Because He laid down His life for us that we might do the same for our brothers and sisters that He did. We love in action and we love in truth, and sometimes that takes sacrifice. Is it okay with you if somebody gets something over on you and you forgive them and they do not even act like it? Is it okay because you've forgiven for the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it okay that you so-called took one for the team? Is it? Is it okay that Christ asked you to love that person even when they're not lovable? Is it okay when you go to family reunions and you don't even look forward to it because somebody made you mad years ago and you don't really want to see them? God asked us to do some pretty hard things because He came to a people that was not lovable. That's me and you. Hate to tell you that. We were not lovable, but He loves us because He chose to, and that's how we're able to love Him. God still brings blessings in this life over His enemies, the enemies of God. There's a common grace to all men, favor that He gives to all people. They're meant to lead to repentance. Proverbs talks about this. Psalms talks about this. The Lord talks about it in other places. Why is it that so-called people that don't serve God are the ones that seem to get all the blessings? Why is it that some people that live evil are the ones that seem to have nothing else ever happen to them? Why is it that God seems to continue to bless and bless and bless those that don't serve Him? The Bible is plain about it. He's trying to call them to repentance. He's trying to bring them to repentance through blessings. Now, he doesn't always do it that way, but it's plain that he does it sometimes. And we're to realize that. And the Bible cautions us not to be jealous of it and to still forgive and to love them. The law has been more than fulfilled, not only to love your neighbor, but to love your enemy. Jesus' teaching, that was stark. In that culture, you brought people into your house. When they came, if they were a stranger, you still brought them into your house and you gave them all of the formalities to drink and food, and they did not leave hungry. That was their culture. But to love your enemy as yourself was a different teaching there. It's different to us. It's stark to us. Does that mean that your enemies are okay, whatever they do to you? No, not in any case. But love is something that transforms. I think the Bible teaches us that love is the only thing that can transform lives. That's Jesus' point. Love, and Paul talks about that. You know, we're in Corinthians. We're going to be in the second part of Corinthians tonight. And as you get on into Corinthians, what does Paul tell us? What's he tell me? He says, Jeff, I don't care. And he uses these examples at himself. But he says, I don't care if you can speak in tongues. I don't care if you could speak in tongues of angels. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you can preach better than Billy Graham. I don't care if you have all these gifts. If you're not standing up behind that pulpit doing it in love, it doesn't mean anything. It's like a gong. It's like an instrument that's off key. That's what he says about love. And that's the teaching of God here. David has his enemies. Jesus had his persecutors. Stephen had his murderers. But being able to forgive like this comes from loving God first. We talked about last week. And I realized I cannot forgive people unless I put God first, because it's just not in me. Unless the love of God flows through me, and that only comes from loving Him with all my heart, soul, and mind, then I can't forgive anyone else. I think I told y'all this a long time ago. Good, because you probably don't remember it, so I'm going to tell it again. But in my past, there have been some people that really have hurt my feelings. I mean bad. And I found out, and years ago I said, okay, Lord, you've asked me to forgive, so I'm going to forgive them. And I thought I had forgiven them. But have you ever done that and things keep popping up in your mind about them? Things they've done? Has it ever come to you like that? Well, I realized through Scripture and through study, the Lord just popped it into this old brain one night while I was studying. Jeff, you really haven't truly forgiven. Because you're relying on me that one day when they face me, you're relying on me to zap them for what they did to you. And I was. Don't we do that sometimes? Lord, I'll forgive them, but I'm going to leave it up to you. And I really want you to get them good for me, though. You know? Isn't that the case? Be honest. And I realized that's probably what I was doing. So he took me to my knees to make me realize I'm glad he didn't forgive me that way. Because if that's what the cross was, just to forgive me on this earth, I'd still be dead in my trespasses and sins. What did Jesus do? When he forgave me, he wiped it clean. So do you know what I had to do for these people that really hurt? I'm serious now. It was really a bad thing with me. Do you know what I had to do and what I did? I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I want you to forgive them. And I don't want you to hold anything they did to me to their stead. I want you to wipe it clean. Now, when you do that, you don't have the right next time you think about it to have a bad thought about it because you've given it to God. Think about that. That's what Jesus did. When he took the sins upon himself, God did away with the right to do anything to you later because the sins were laid on Christ. And he said, I'm going to take that sin. Father, don't hold anything to their stead. If that's the case, and it is, what right do we have to hold it against anyone down here that God created? And I'm going to tell you something else wonderful that happened. I had such a peace. True forgiveness does not want anything. I didn't really want anything bad to happen to those people. Not really. I just had my feelings hurt. True forgiveness is a blessing, and it comes by love, and that's what God is trying to give us. He's trying to bless us to release us from all that stuff we might hold in our heart against other people, and he's replacing it with love. That's true forgiveness. Jesus said in Matthew 25, of those that were blessed and would inherit the kingdom, he said this. What did he say? You gave me to eat. And they didn't know what he was talking about. He said, you gave me to drink. You took me in. You even clothed me. You took care of me. You came and you visited me. And they didn't know what he was talking about. He said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me, because you've shown my love to the world. I wrote out here in parentheses, and I've told you this before, I can get as upset as any other red-blooded American, okay, about things that happen. But I wrote out here in parentheses, it says, there might be a fine line that we have to travel when we think about our open borders. No, I don't like it that people are flooding across. But yes, God counts on me and demands that I love the people that are coming across if I ever have the opportunity to deal with them. I don't have a right to hate. God has given the nations and he's given leaders the obligation to take care and secure. He's given us the obligation to love. See what I'm saying? It doesn't mean I like what's happening, but my command is to love. My command is to have action. What are we daily doing for Jesus that translates into what his love is? What can we think to do in this community? What can we think to do in our community right around Sharon? The uttermost parts of the world, Samaria, Judea, are great to minister to. We're going to South Louisiana for long. We give money that goes to missionaries. Everything. It's great to go off. It really is. But Jerusalem is mentioned first. The place where they live is mentioned first. The community in which we live. Sometimes it's a lot easier to go off and minister than it is in our own community, because we know the people here. And we might have made some of them mad over the years, and they might have made us mad. It's much easier. It was much easier, I'll be honest with you, it's much easier for me to go to the prisons and minister to men in there. It is. Than it is to minister out here in the community. Why is that? It's just a mental thing. But we're called to minister here. This is where we live. Then to spread out. We have to have a heart of love for those that are lost in this community and where we live. But we must remain vibrant and vigilant. We are to exhort one another every single day, as long as we have today, that so we don't fall into sin. To exhort one another every single day means to put a part to put an action to. In Romans, Paul tells us it's time to wake up. That's what he says. We must put on the Lord Jesus Christ, for the day is at hand. May not have tomorrow. We don't know that. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says that the work will be disclosed and revealed by fire, for the fire will test it. Everything I say, everything I preach, everything I do is going to be revealed in fire one day. It's going to be tested by the fire, and some things are going to burn up. Maybe some of the things that I thought were true witness, maybe some of the things that I thought were really serving God, that might be some of the things that burns up. Some of the things that I don't realize that I did, but the Lord helped me do, that may be some of the things that last. I don't know. I don't know. But I know I'm called to serve him. We're to encourage one another. We're to stir or to provoke one another. That's what the word means. That's kind of powerful. It stir and provoke one another to do good works. Look for gifts that people have and encourage them. When I started going to the prisons, I've told you this before, Tim Stewart went with me, and Tim was in a wheelchair, and I'd go by, and we'd put it back in the truck, and we'd go. The first time I invited Tim to go, he thought he was going one time. Just going to go over there and give his testimony. When I dropped him off, I said, I'll see you next week. And he had this look on his face. He said, really? I said, yeah. And he wound up going with me for 4 or 5 years. He got to do a ministry. And I'm not bragging on myself. It's just because I said, come on, let's go. It gave him the opportunity to go. God wants us to do that. There's people in here There's people in here that several of us, many of us, have been doing jobs at the church. And not that I don't want you to quit them, but there's other people that we could get involved and give them the opportunity to have ministry also and do things. Look around and see who has certain gifts. That's our responsibility. And get them involved. Many people are just sitting there waiting. They don't realize it, but they are. And you get them involved in something, and then God touches their heart, and all of a sudden they take off. I've seen that happen before. Jesus says in chapter 2 that words are cheap. Words can be cheap. You may talk a good game about helping somebody, but faith, James says, faith without works, what did he say? Is dead. Now, he wasn't talking about your works is tied to salvation like some people try to say. What he's talking about, your works are the result of a faith. You're living for Christ. Don't just talk a good game. Your faith in Christ should have some action to it, love to it, your works to it. You see in Scripture where Barnabas, his name was Joseph, what did the apostles nickname him? The son of encouragement. For them to give him that nickname, he must have been something. He must have been the one to come along to the brothers and sisters that were down and put his arm around and say, hey, come on, you can do this. Or hey, come on, I'm going to visit so-and-so today, come with me. Or hey, come on, let's clean some tables. Or hey, come on, let's go visit some people. He probably encouraged the apostles. He probably prayed with them. He wasn't an apostle. It doesn't say he was an outstanding evangelist. It says that he was an encourager. And then he sold his land and he gave the money and he did it out of love, not wanting any recognition. He just loved Jesus, didn't he? He was an encourager because of that. Are we an encourager or someone that's always negative? Do we put other people first or simply worry about ourselves? Barnabas didn't do this for recognition. He just loved the Lord. You know, Christ is called our first fruits, right? Because of the resurrection. Because he is our first fruits to God. And then we will follow in resurrection. But you know, he calls us first fruits also. Not that we follow in that stead. But we are to give our first fruits to God. We are to be the first fruits to God. Do you know what that actually means? What was the first fruits when their garden produced? Some of y'all may have to come help me with mine. But when your garden produces and it gets a lot of fruit, you did what? You gave your best to God back then. They take it into the priest and it was given to them so they'd have something to eat and hold. But it was the best. They didn't take their second best. So what does that tell me? It says I ought to be excited when I put my tithe in the plate. Really. I ought to be excited that God has blessed me and given me the ability that I can give a little money to help at the church because I can give my first fruits back to him because I can't match what he did for me. And we're going to go over that tonight in First Corinthians of what Jesus actually did for us. But I can give my best to him, my first fruits back to him. And it ought to be a joy in my heart to do it because you love God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. But I can tell you, if I give it begrudgingly, I don't think the Lord even accepts it. I don't think he wants it if my heart gives it begrudgingly. Oh, I got to give my tithe again. Or, oh, they're wanting my time again, you know. Or, oh, the Lord wants me to do this. I'm going to go do it. And I get up and I go do it. You think he accepts that? I don't. He wants a loving heart. He wants a heart of first fruits given to him. The attitude should spread among all brothers and sisters in Christ. In John 17, Jesus prayed this. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. And the church was of one accord, of the same mind. And they had love for one another. W.A., would you come?